FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers, defenders of truth, robots who fight in disguise.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for your listening pleasure, episode number 259, recorded August 19th, 2017. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Jim Black.
Forget it. We'll do it live.
Do what live?
I don't know. I'm just being random.
Yeah, you usually are.
All right.
And unintentionally, but partially obscured by my video, apparently, is Michael Swift.
Hello, everybody.
You can still see him, but just every now and then he'll like dip behind my video. I don't know why.
Which direction? This way?
No, the other way. That way, yeah. You're completely hidden now. Yeah, this is still set up from the last video we had where there was only three of us, and now there's four of us, and it kind of scrunches the video a little bit. But but it still works. And also, you can't see him, but you can hear him. Returning is a longtime TFYLP-er, Tobias. Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. It's great to be back.
It's
really great.
You are in the UK now, so
yeah.
Your time, it's what, about 1 a.m.? 10 after 1?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there?
Yeah.
So
10 past 1, yeah. So, yeah.
But as you know, I mean, it can't be helped. So
no, it's reasonable time for Saturday. So
it's better than it would have been if you were in Sweden. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so, it's 1 hour ahead, so it would be past 2:10. So
you would have been going.
Yeah, probably.
As if we're not boring enough. No. Oh gosh.
But, no, it's great to be back, guys.
Absolutely.
It's been too long.
It has been. So since you've been gone, it's been nearly a year. I mean, I think you was on like once or twice since then. But yeah. What have you been doing?
We moved within the UK. So I now live near Reading. And I actually work for a Swedish company now, a small one. You perhaps never heard of it. It's called IKEA. And yeah, that's what I'm doing.
You work for IKEA.
Yeah,
I do. And here we have a perfect little advertisement for your company right behind us.
Yeah, exactly. The Detolf.
There's no Detolf discount or sales incentive or any kind, is there?
You just need to fly to the UK, go to the store with him, and he there to get you the discount. You got to fly them back to America.
That'll be cheap.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
They don't weigh anything. So
my only thing is I want the Expedits back. Those things are awesome. I don't know why they discontinued them. They're
called Kallax nowadays.
Are they?
Yeah. The only difference is 1 centimeter, and it's the outer dimensions. So the inner dimensions are still the same, so you can still keep your vinyls and things like that in them. So.
Oh, okay.
But they're called Kallax. I don't know why they changed the name, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that's kind of held me off from picking up an extra one is because I don't have an Expedite to put it on, and I like them. You know, the Expedite actually raises them up high enough, you know.
Yeah, no, they're really good. So, yeah, go and have a look.
Yeah. Well, there's a new IKEA opening up in Indianapolis. Very shortly, if I'm not mistaken. Next month. Is that correct, Jim?
I don't recall.
It's on the
other
end.
I know it's coming up here pretty fast. It's up in Fishers, I believe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is, if you know what Indianapolis looks like, there's like a big loop highway. It's like catty corner from where I'm at, so it's still quite a drive for me. Because I don't really get out much.
Yeah. You hobo.
I don't know. I'm a recluse. Nocturnal.
So, what about toys? Picked any good toys up lately?
You know what? Last summer, I went to a convention, and that was the last time I bought any Transformers toys.
Last
sadly.
Summer? Wow.
Oh. Yeah. You know, remember when, what is it called? Titan Masters, the new headmaster thing.
Yes.
Right? You can tell I've been out of the loop.
Actually, they're still current. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I still follow the news, of course. And, I have a look now and then in the shops, but hasn't been anything that really interested me, you know, and the prices, if they were interesting, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. They now we're getting feedback from somebody.
I did just turn my mic back on.
Momentarily we had it. Now it's gone.
So. Yeah.
Did you pick any of the Titan Returns figures up, or?
I did. I'm just trying to remember which one it is. That's a problem right now because we live in a really small flat and I can't display my Transformers properly. So I just have a couple of them on a shelf here. But I do have around 15 big boxes were full of Transformers, so I hope that someday we can show them. But anyway, it was... God, I'm ridiculous when it comes to names. They renamed him.
The Wolfwire. Crocodile. Oh, Skull Cruncher.
Skull Cruncher, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one I bought.
He's actually one of the weaker ones out of the whole bunch. I mean, he's not bad. I mean, I don't think he's terrible, but I don't think he's by far the strongest one out of the bunch.
I thought he was pretty bad until I got the Mind Wipe mold.
The
rubbery bits turned me off on him.
And then this guy's really bad.
But the Autobots, they really outdid themselves on the Autobot ones. So, I think Highbrow is probably... The only thing I don't like about Highbrow is he's kind of got that single... the little clip that his head sits on, so he has that wobbly head. Kind of like...
It's a Scourge retool, and Scourge had the same issue.
Actually, it's not a retool.
They share pieces,
but it's not a retool. It's an entirely new mold. Well, it's a new mold that shares some parts.
Yeah.
I actually got some of the heads as well. So I got Crash Bash, I think it's called, and the one that was horrible. What was it? It was renamed Terrible, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much to Jim's chagrin.
Yeah.
I'm happy we got it.
Yeah, no.
What was Crash Bash originally? It was a lobster looking thing.
Squeeze play. Yeah. Or if you say it in Japan, it's cancer.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. And I'm trying to think of the American name.
Yeah. And Japan, they didn't have the same issues with names like we do over here. I don't think
Wilder.
Yeah, I don't think cancer would have went over too well over here.
There's two of them I actually on the hunt for. It's Apeface and Fangry, I think it is.
Oh yeah, Apeface is really good.
I can just imagine that having ended badly had they done that.
What?
Little kid going to their parents, Mommy, can I get cancer for Christmas?
That's bad. No, that
wouldn't have translated well.
No. But anything new that's on the horizon that really piques your interest?
Not really. There's a couple of masterpieces, of course, but I haven't had money for a while, so we have.
I know what that's like.
Exactly. So what I'm doing at the moment, because we recently moved, and it costs a lot of money, of course, and the cost of living comes with it as well. So what I've done now is trying to sell off some of my Transformers that I don't hold that dearly, you know, the things, because I have so many boxes here and there's a lot of Transformers when I go through them, like, I'm probably never going to put them on the shelf again. So hopefully I can get them sold and get some money and I can buy some masterpieces.
I've actually done that lately and have a Trypticon to show for it, as well as the KFC third party KFC's Apeface and Snapdragon. And those both are amazing. I know KFC doesn't have like the world's greatest reputation out there. There's a lot of KFC haters, but I've got to say these two guys are, I have no issues whatsoever with them. You know, they've got good joints. What's that?
Nothing.
Oh,
just juggling.
Are they the ones that started with just the cassette?
Yeah, they started out with cassettes and moved on to some things. They've since done a blaster, twin cast, Rekgar, the random Junkion, and I believe they're also X-Transbots as well. X-Transbots is kind of like a rename of some of their products because they share a lot of similarities with some of the things there. Matter of fact, like if you can see it, I've got the X-Transbots wind charger here, the Boost. Great-looking Trans Am there, or Firebird, or whatever.
See it. Yeah.
Well, if you have the YouTube video pulled up, like I said before.
Oh, right. We'll see it about 30 seconds to a minute later.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a slight delay because the video comes in, I have to, my computer processes it and shoots it back out to the world.
The audience will actually see it.
Yes. Now see they're seeing it right now. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
well then be now.
We're ruining the magic. We're revealing the man behind the curtain.
The Wizard of Oz. It's truth be told, it's Megamus.
It is, yeah. There is actually another toy I bought last year that just came to mind. It was Highbrow. I love that one.
Yes. I really like the Highbrow. The Brainstorm is actually not bad either.
Yeah, I never bought him because I had I have the other one, the third party ones, the X Fans Project.
Oh yeah, the Smart Robin.
Smart Robin, yeah, it was an anagram. So yeah.
I'm sorry. What was the anagram again?
Smart Robin.
Brainstorm.
Wow.
Yeah,
he just now got it. Yeah, Megamus said, yes, it is him. He has admitted he is the wizard behind the curtain. But talking about wizards
behind... Don't put his pants back on.
The wizards behind the curtain. Check out our sponsors, CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, where you can save even more on orders of $150 or more with free domestic shipping within the continental U.S. There are some changes. I know he was telling me the other day there's some slight changes that's going on with the shipping, but it's kind of working out better for both Capture Prey and the purchasers. So check that out. But CapturePrey.com, great toys, great prices, great service. You can find Captured Prey at great... I'm mixing them up now. Dang. I am just not on my game tonight. Okay. I am not on my game. live. Yes, we are live. Mega Toy Fan, maximize your collection while minimizing your costs. MegaToyFan.com. Slow down.
I don't do the ad reads and never have because this would be me.
Yes. Normally, I'm not this bad. I'm stumbling over my words.
So back when I used to host a lot and Don was there, I'd always point to Don, like, go.
Don, you do it. but yeah, Mega Toy Fan, maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with MegaToyFan.com. You can find Mega Toy Fan at all the popular robot and toy conventions year round, such as TFCon coming up in a month or two. You can find Mega Toy Fan there. And just to clarify, Mega Toy Fan is most easily found online on Facebook. Just search out Mega Toy Fan and you can find all that you want on there. And Megamus is making fun of you, Jim.
Oh?
Yes, yes. He says, smart Robin, dumb Jim, about the same. Yeah.
Yes. I hadn't connected the two until he said it was an anagram. I'm like, really?
Hey, it is.
I thought it was just another name or something.
Yeah. Also, Ripped Apparel, if you are looking for really cool t-shirts that are like mashups of like, say, Transformers and Jurassic Park, you can find great t-shirts there. Even if you get a t-shirt that is not Transformer related, on your checkout, be sure to use the promo code TFYOPPOD, and you will save 10% on your orders from Ripped Apparel. So be sure to do that. And also on Patreon at patreon.com/TFYOP, if you love what we do, you can help us out each month with a little bit of extra cash. I want to thank each and every one of our current Patreons that help us out. It is absolutely phenomenal that we have such great fans. And with your funds, we are able to upgrade and pay for like the microphones that you see, and also pay for server fees, which are not cheap and not free. And the software that we're using to broadcast this this out right now is not free. So thank you. Patreon.com/TFYOP. Tonight we're going to talk about Beast Wars. We're going to talk about some of the things that Beast Wars did right and some of the things that Beast Wars did wrong. You know, the most obvious thing is that Beast Wars... basically turned the Transformers franchise around. We were coming off of the heels of Generation 2. Transformers were very scarce on the shelves, dare I say, dead. Several months there where there were like nothing on the shelf. There was some reruns of old G1 cartoons for the Generation 2 cartoon, and now, in 1996, like 95 again. Was it 95 that the cartoon first aired?
Six.
Was it 96?
96.
96.
Okay. Yeah, though, around that same time, you mentioned the G2 cartoon, but around that same time, I also vividly remember early in the morning, the Sci-Fi Channel, which hadn't been around for very long, was also showing lots of older cartoons, Jason the Wheeled Warriors, Transformers and such, Dinosaucers.
Hmm.
They were still showing G1 at that time. Although those airings were edited, from what I understand, or sped up or something to allow for time.
Yeah. I just read a message someone sent to me. Funny. But yeah, there are things that Beast Wars did right. You know, we all know that fans really latched on to Beast Wars, and it really helped elevate the brand back into the limelight. There are a lot of great fans out there of Beast Wars. There might be a few even on this show. I don't know. You know, yeah. As Michael slowly turns around, looks at the giant Predacon logo painted on his wall. Yeah. Just a tiny.
Just a little bit.
Just a tiny bit. So let's delve into what Transformers Beast Wars did right, first of all. Tobias, what do you think Beast Wars did right?
What Beast Wars did right was change the whole concept from the robots that we used to see into actual animal robots, and I love that one. It's a bit of a controversial one as well, right? Because yeah. I wasn't around at the time, but I was. But I saw the Beast Wars shows a couple of years after it aired, so I wasn't in those discussions, but I know that we talked about it before, and I remember you guys were saying there was a lot of divides within the Transformers community because this was the first series after G1. It's still G1, right? But yeah, you know what I mean.
I think it's still in, yeah, it's in some of the canon. So yeah, I guess what was the episode, the two-parter that actually kind of tied it in when they went back to the art? Come on, Michael. See, this is what old age does to you.
Was it just called The Ark?
No.
The Agenda?
The Agenda, yes.
Yeah, the Agenda three-parter.
All I could think of was other voices, and I knew that one was wrong.
Yeah, that was the Unicron one, right?
That was the Vok.
Yeah, well, the Vok,
but where they projected Unicron's head.
Right.
But, yeah.
So you think the changing of the style of Transformers from primarily vehicle robots to robots to beasts to robots is one of the main things that they did right?
Yeah, it's one of the things. The other thing is it was really well written, the show. I think it was a good story arc. When I saw it a couple of years later, I was like surprised how involved I got with the show, not just the characters but storytelling as well. Of course, the characters is another big thing. So I think we can line up a lot of things that they actually did right, and I can say most of it is top notch.
The series won an Emmy for the writing, didn't it?
Yep, that's right.
I was unaware it actually won an Emmy. I know.
I'm pretty sure it was for writing.
Yeah, I think it was an Emmy, but they won some kind of award. We can probably look it up somewhere.
Well, I'll do that.
Yeah, do that.
you do that. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
And they had magnificent voice actors on that show as well, of course. People we haven't heard earlier, so in...
Yeah, they changed
the
up.
80s.
I mean, we went from Peter Cullen to Gary Chalk, and then Frank Welker to David Kaye. I mean...
And Scott McNeil.
I really don't think even just looking at the leaders, I don't think that they really missed a beat switching to those guys. Absolutely phenomenal voice actors. Jim, what do you think Beast Wars did right?
What do I think they did right? In the beginning, seemingly took everything that we've known about the brand up to that point and just threw it to the side and started their own fresh story with original characters and made sure that they weren't just names thrown in for this week's episode so you can go out and buy the toy. You actually connected with the character and you cared about them and what happened to them. You saw them grow and develop throughout that first season. And then they bring all that other stuff right back in when Ravage shows up. And then later on, we see it, you know, connect to G1 and find out the Ark is on Earth and find out that actually is Earth that they're on once Dinobot gets the disc. And so, I mean, they had their own standalone thing that was doing fine. It was doing stellar. And then they just added the icing on top of it. And just it all just came together wonderfully. It was a very, very well done show.
So you think...
And the toys were awesome, too. Ball joints, all that.
Oh, yeah.
Magna Boss.
Actually, one of the listeners, Monsterbot, actually mentioned ball joints. That is something that was very prevalent in Beast Wars. Generation 1, there were a few that actually had some ball joints, but not on the level of Beast Wars. Some of the Aerial Bots. Astral Train had them in his shoulders. They really didn't. Generation 1 really didn't use the ball joints to add posability. It was more of an easy solution to a swivel joint. Whirl had some great ones, but Beast Wars really revolutionized the usage of ball joints, much like Generation 2 with the light piping and stuff like that.
Yes.
Which
carried on into Beast Wars.
Yeah,
a lot of figures.
But more toward yours and Tobias's mention of the show, how it kind of revolutionized and how they changed things up. It was not necessarily like Generation 1 was a cavalcade of here's a new character, here's a new character, here's a new character, throw it at you. You know, there was literally, I'm wanting to say 360 some odd Generation 1 characters. Not every single one of them made it into the cartoon. But yet, you know, over the course of Generation 1, there was so many new characters. And we know that the writers of the Rebirth, you know, they were canceling Generation 1. They had three episodes to throw all these new characters in, and that's why the first few minutes of the Rebirth is just like a cluster of new characters.
Originally, it was slated to be five, but they cut it down to three, so that's why it felt a bit rushed.
Yes. I mean, I still am quite pissed that Weird Wolf didn't really have any speaking lines. you know, at least he got on the show.
Yes.
But, whereas in Japan, he was like a central character. That's... Yeah. But anyway, back to Beast Wars. The characters had a lot... I mean, much smaller cast, a lot more character development. You know, you basically had, what, five Predacons and five Maximals that were the mainstay characters, I guess is what you could say.
Yeah, they took their time to introduce new characters as well. So, yeah, I totally agree. And I think that was a deciding factor for the success as well. Storytelling.
Yes. Michael, let's get to you. What do you think Beast Wars did right?
Well, a lot of things. But... I think the biggest, being that when they were developing this, they sort of had more of an idea of that they were creating the toy and the show together, you had more accurate characters on the shelf to what you were seeing on the show, which I think was a big positive for Transformers going forward. You know, we started getting more
Black Arachne was mainly a departure from that.
Yeah, there was a few. Well, in the first season, really, they did it maybe a little bit backwards, where the show took what was already designed with the toys and then made them into CGI models. And so they sort of modified them to make them look better. You know, they didn't want Beefcake Black Arachnia, because originally she was obviously just a recolor of Tarantulas.
I'd be interested to see that.
Well, but, I mean, we got the, what was it, the Legends, the Takara Legends. That was a retool of the animated Black Arachnia that really did that figure some justice.
Mandibles.
Hmm.
Yes, mandibles. But I think I don't know. The biggest thing I would say was just the construction of the toys. Like they were saying, ball joints was really a big thing. And I know with that, you know, it doesn't seem like much, but where other toys, you know, you'd break them, you pop an arm off, and it's that arm is off.
It's done. Yeah.
Like me and my brother, when we were playing with these toys, we were ripping their arms off all the time as they were fighting.
You were ripping their balls off.
Yes. They're ripping their arms off the ball joints. I stumbled there a little bit. Yes.
You were ripping their balls off.
But we were ripping, you know, pieces off of them, and then once we were done playing, snapping them back together. And so it's sort of like an unintended added benefit to all the ball joints. Now, later on, you can argue if ball joints are a good thing now.
Because they wear out over time.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for a little thing called nail polish.
yeah
that now glue, going so, back to the skull cruncher, the Titan Return skull cruncher that you mentioned earlier, Tobias, mine right out of the box would not stand the ball joints.
Oh,
yeah.
No?
the yeah, hip joints were so the hip joints were so bad on my skull cruncher, I basically disassembled it and put some nail polish, I mean thick, on his ball joints, and now he stands fine. But
Yeah. Now, yeah, nail polish, like I said, it's wonderful for ball joint. Another thing when it comes to the ball joints, I just want to say, is that because they had a Kenner at that point as well, because they came in with other designers, so perhaps... Because it was, because I remember the toys in Sweden, at least, had the big Kenner logo on them, not the Hasbro.
Yeah, they did here, too.
They did first 2 years.
Yeah.
And then with the Transmetals and Fusors, the Hasbro logo took over that spot.
What was the distribution in Sweden like for Beast Wars?
Well, like I said, I at that time wasn't around, but I talked to some of my friends that actually was into Beast Wars at that point, because we talk a lot about Beast Wars. It's my favorite series as well. But and they said that it was quite a lot, especially we didn't have Toys R Us at that point. We had a Swedish chain or Nordic chain. And they were selling a lot of these Beast War toys, as he could remember. So, especially the deluxe ones. And what they called the basics?
Yeah, basics.
But we talked about, I remember it was a couple of years we talked about this, but the Mega Class and the other things that came. He never saw those, but the basics and the deluxe, yeah.
So since Tobias brought him up, I was actually going to bring this up as well. It was sort of like I obviously can't speak towards like G2, but it was I believe the first time when we sort of had size classes, right? defined size classes.
Defined, like, yeah. Basics, defined
size as a basics. Yeah, everything in deluxe, the size is deluxe. Then you had megas, ultras, and supremes.
Yeah.
And everything on the shelf at that price point was the same price point. And the same size.
Well, it's like in Generation 1, we had like the mini bots and the cassettes and everything. They could be classified as basics or legends, you know, today. And they were all pretty much the same price point. Then you had like the Autobot cars. They were all one price point. But they weren't called, you know, they weren't like a class. You know, I remember back in the day, you know, it's like it's either a carded toy or a box toy or a big box toy. You know, you had your carteds, small carteds, small box, and large box. You know, large boxes were obviously like Trypticon, Metroplex, you know, Galvatron. Then your boxed ones were like, you know, Blitzwing, Astrotrain.
As Inferno.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then any of the carded peggables, those fluctuated in size. Because, I mean, you had the mini cars, you had the
aerial bots,
the cassettes, you had the Scramble City limbs.
Yeah. And the size of the cards on those just varied. I mean, like the mini bots went from like small, average, like small cards. The cassettes were on like small cards, and then aerial bots, you know, the limb bots were a little bit bigger. Yeah.
Then you get into things like the Kmart Legends or the MicroMaster 4-packs. I mean, it must have been such a mess.
Well, yeah. just
the shelves
adding,
were always full.
Yeah. Well, just adding the, you also have to factor in that back then there was a lot less competition. I mean, there was competition, but there was a lot less competition for shelf space that there is now.
Kmart was mainly a dominant force.
Yeah, but
Walmart hadn't really come to yet.
But as far as, you know, Beast Wars adding the size class definitions, I think that did help clean it up quite a bit. As far as, you know, you can actually reference, oh, this is a basic figure, this is a mega, you know, and whenever you mention that, people know what size class or what it looks like, at least in the box. Michael, you were getting ready to mention something else a minute ago.
That I can remember now.
Stay off the weed, man.
But I mean, I'm going to parrot everyone else. The biggest thing it did right was that sold the toys was that it had a cartoon with characters that were really good characters, so you wanted to buy those toys. And then through wanting to buy the characters you saw on the show, you also wanted to buy all the other ones that were with them.
Kind of fill it out.
Yeah. So,
do you ever sit down and count? I mean, like Generation 1 had like 300 and somewhere between 350 and 400 total characters or toys. Did you ever count how many different Beast Wars toys
No.
there are? Has anybody, for that matter? I don't think I've ever actually seen it documented.
I'm going to Google it and we'll find out.
Yeah. Did you find out if they won an Emmy?
Oh, yeah. So they won a daytime Emmy for Outstanding Achievement in Animation.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Jim, you were right.
It wasn't the writing, but
it was
close.
Was an Emmy.
Horseshoes and hand grenades, Jim. Horseshoes and hand grenades.
But this was Mainframe. This was their, second show? The first one after Reboot?
Really, I think so. And it's I think it was the third show that was completely CG.
I remember there was Beast Wars, there was Reboot, and then there was also at some point the Incredible Crash Dummies, but I don't think that was Mainframe. That might have been.
It was CGI animation was kind of in its infancy at that time,
right?
Anyway,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is shows before that point, before the mid '90s,
Battle Planets,
yeah,
Reboot Battle Planets.
You had cel-shaded just about everything.
But that's another thing as well. When we're talking about the highlights of the Beast Wars, they actually rebooted the Transformers and did the Beast Wars with it. And they also decided to go against what they did earlier with the animation and go for really 3D rendering. And like you said, Ron, it's early days.
Did I say cel-shaded? I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That would have been Energon. Hand-drawn cell animation is
what yeah.
You know what I mean.
No, we don't, Jim. Never do. But that's why you're here. Just for your comic relief.
You do, because I sure as heck don't.
Your comic relief.
Nah, I can't find a total of figures in the line. I would imagine it's got to be at least somewhere between 100 and 200. If we're talking just like Beast Wars and not including Beast Wars 2nd and Beast Wars
Neo. Yeah, I mean, Beast Wars 2nd, Beast Wars Neo, honestly, it really, I didn't even know about it until much later. You know, right. I mean, it was happening, what, around 97, 98, 99-ish. Somewhere. And I didn't even find out about it until probably the mid-2000s, whenever it started popping up. On, you know, eBay and BBTS. I'm like, what are these weird looking things? I think the very first one I saw was Neo Dead End. I'm like, they made a peppermint into a Transformer?
Yeah, I remember finding Big Convoy for the first time on the internet and just being like, holy crap, I gotta have that toy.
And once you got it, were you disappointed?
Oh, no. It's an awesome toy.
Yeah.
It's mostly a shelf warmer.
Which one? Which is most of the line anyway.
Yeah.
It held up surprisingly well.
But even in extreme, like, you can make... I think there's a picture floating around the internet where you can make, like, 80% of his elephant mode by just popping off all the mammoth bits.
You can. I did have a Universe Nemesis Prime.
Yeah, I wish I had.
And just had the naked robot standing there.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, it's I believe those two were coming out in Japan. You know, like you said, I think 97, 98, something like that. While we were getting Beast Wars, the second season. And the third season.
Like the medals and things like that. Yeah.
They got those two seasons, and then they got Beast Wars medals, which was the last two seasons. So they sort of had an intermission of Beast Wars 2nd and Beast Wars Neo, from my understanding.
And you know what the thing is that I would kind of chalk it up as something that Beast Wars did right at first. But as years went on, you're like, oh... Kind of like gold plastic syndrome. You know, back in the day, you know, gold plastic was, ooh, shiny. You know, that's cool looking. It's gold. It's swirly. And then now you're like, ooh, it's gold. It's swirly. Yeah. And I apply that to the paint, transmetal paint. It looks so pretty back in. Yeah, the it looks so pretty back in the day, you know, whenever it's new. And if it's well taken care of, it looks pretty. You know, it's shiny and colorful, vibrant. But yes. Unfortunately, it has a tendency to crack and flake off. Yes.
Yeah, some like are that, more worse offenders than others, but it's a nightmare. It's the bane of the existence of a Beast Wars collector.
Yeah, I had I've photographed a large lot here a while back for Captured Prey, there was a lot of Beast Wars in there, and unfortunately, a lot of the transmetals did not survive so well. I distinctly remember is a transmetal rat trap. I pulled him out of the Ziploc bag that he was in, and literally there was maybe an inch of flake dust in the bottom, and there was like no paint on this poor guy
Yeah, wow. Rat Trap's a really bad one. The Rat Trap I got is also flaking, like, on the back wheels and stuff like that for his vehicle mode.
Was that also the same for the repaints of that? Because I know there was, like the Fox Kid repaints of some figures.
Yeah, Rat Trap was pretty much across the board, really.
My Fox Kids Rat Trap is not flaking too bad. I don't actually think it's pretty pristine. I don't think it's flaking at all. There's a chance that maybe the Beast Wars 10th anniversary Rat Trap won't have the flaking problem.
I think they would have fixed that by that point.
You would think, but Hasbro.
Dude, there are BotCon toys that have GPS. No.
No. Is there?
This BotCon is it 07? The one that has the Beast Wars Redux. The Armada hoist that is redone as
Dinobot
is the crane arm is GPS crazy.
Oh, that makes me really sad. And then, but at least I know now, so when I get one, I never touch them.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there was...
Because even now that you're mentioning that, the Beast Wars 10th anniversary Dinobot is GPS central.
And as late as the 07 movie, or was it Revenge of the Fallen, when we got the Protoform, Optimus Prime, and Starscream, Starscream was nothing but GPS. And that's less than
the flaming turd.
That's less than 10 years ago. So
have people had problems with that Starscream?
Yes.
Yep.
I got rid of mine before I ever got to experience that.
Yeah. That same lot of figures that I was photographing, the BotCon Dinobot had the GPS arm. I mean, it literally had disintegrated. It wasn't glittery gold plastic, but I mean, it was like just shards of plastic in the box. The movie Starscream was almost split in half. But
wow.
Yeah. Well, that one's not a great loss, because I mean that transformed literally into a flaming turd. So
yeah. But you know,
Prime looks all right though.
Back to the Transmetal paint. It's something I think they did right at first. It did look cool. It added a dimension to the Transformers toys. I'm a fan of chrome on Transformers. I love the look of it. If you take care of it. Now, there are times when you're like, damn, you know, I wish this thing didn't have chrome. But there are things like wheel hubs, like on the Masterpiece Autobot cars. If you have like chrome hubs, Optimus Prime's grill, I think those things work as chromed. I see any
chrome and it makes me nervous.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm gonna bring this up. Like, I would love to get. I just got this guy recently. This is the Transarch Commander. And his what would be the chrome parts on Optimus is instead of being vacuum chromed, it's just like a shiny paint. I would love to get some Trans Metals reissued with just some shiny paint.
Have you ever considered disassembling one of your really bad chrome figures and maybe painting it?
I've considered. I haven't considered that, but there's the there's a way to preserve the chrome if you can find a good figure that has like almost perfect chrome, in which you could put clear coat over it. Because I believe the big problem with the Transmetals is they didn't put a clear coat over the back chrome. And so as it gets older, it starts to get brittle and just flakes away. And where the clear coat is supposed to keep that on, the plastic. Or they didn't properly treat the plastic. It was one of those two. It definitely doesn't have a clear coat. But if you find a good specimen, you can clear coat it and try to preserve that chrome. I've thought about trying that, but I'd do it on one that sucks first.
Just to see how it works, yeah.
To see how it works.
Don't get your BotCon Shokaracked and do it on that.
If I got a BotCon Shokaracked, it's staying in the box, and I'm going to pretend like it's in perfect condition.
Like the one that I had. I owned it, never opened it. It was still sealed in the box. It was probably cracked and dried. And
it's a box of dust.
Yeah.
In reality.
like Black Zarek.
Yeah.
But speaking
of Electro,
right?
I said there's another thing I thought of. You know, we've discussed, you know, GPS and as well as the chrome, like the Transmetal paint. But Beast Wars also utilized to quite a large degree translucent plastic. I look to things like Dinobot's legs or Waspinator's wings.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, Beasts, they didn't have windshields. They didn't have windows, headlights, any of that. So, I mean, but they still used it. And a lot of times it would be on areas that would be hinges or ball joints. And so that resulted in a lot of...
In fact, Inferno and...
Yeah. Inferno's thorax, wasn't it?
Well, no, Inferno, he is, his thorax, the front of his ant, from his elbow upwards, and from his knee down, actually, no, his entire leg is all clear plastic.
Yeah, needlessly so.
And then the...
BotCon 98, double punch. Yeah. BotCon Japan double punch, nothing but clear plastic, clear red plastic.
He's over there on my shelf. It's pretty, though.
Yes, he is. It's like a big Jolly Rancher.
But yeah, there's especially in the Predacons, there was a lot of clear plastic used for, like, to make really the bugs look like, you know, they have that outer, like, exoskeleton. Right. And it's problematic because, as everyone knows, clear plastic becomes brittle as well. It's not as bad as GPS or the flaking issue, but like...
You can actually get around clear plastic if you're very careful with it.
Yeah, it's not like an epidemic, but like my Inferno took a shelf dive and broke. So I had to buy some new parts and fix them. But... you know, if you don't knock them off a shelf, they'll be fine.
Yeah. It is still an annoying issue in a lot of figures, too.
Yeah, I find clear plastic at least works a little better with ball joints than it does with hinges. Or especially with pins. I find pins with clear plastic is where it really starts to get scary, especially as that pin maybe starts to corrode or rust, and it gets harder to work the clear plastic. It's definitely a wide use. In
Megamus says clear plastic is brittle but tastes amazing.
He should never ever visit the Doozers.
Since we're kind of already migrating that way, let's talk about what Beast Wars failed at. And I'm going to kind of go in reverse order here. Michael, what do you think Beast Wars really failed at beyond, you know, using Transmetal vac paint and clear plastic?
Can you come back to me? I actually, because I've been thinking about this all day. And
well, I mean, you're biased. You're biased. So
biased one here for sure.
Jim, what is up with your lighting? It's like dark, then light, then dark, then light.
Oh, that's my camera readjusting itself.
Oh,
I've got the low light setting on because I have LED bulbs in here. But I'm saving money.
Come back to me. I want to see what everyone else says.
It's like this room here is all LED lit. Yes.
Yeah, mine is too.
I love it. But Jim, let's go with you then. So we'll go back to Michael since he's a slacker.
I agree with
Nightstick. He's had all day to think about it, and now he still needs just a few more minutes.
Hold on. I agree with Night Swords. Becoming Beast Machines.
Well, Beast Machines is a turd in and of itself.
Was its greatest failure.
I'll agree to disagree on that point. But,
the seeds of the future lie buried in the past.
Failed at... Well, I don't know. As far as
do we all love Beast Wars so much that we can't think of something bad about it?
I would think if it failed at anything, it would be that it failed at moving on from the Generation One focused storyline. I mean, I understand the arc and all that was a pivotal. Part of the story.
You think it kind of fell into a pigeonhole and just never climbed
out
of it.
And it stayed there. It started out fine. You had Tigatron, Air Razor, Rampage, all these other characters introduced. And it was cool to see Ravage, to have the ghost of Starscream come in. For them to discover the Ark, see the dormant Autobots and Stasis Lock and all that. That was cool.
I'm surprised but they didn't really make a new Starscream toy.
They stayed with the Ark. They stayed with the Nemesis.
Yeah, I'm surprised they never made a new Starscream toy for the Beast Wars era.
They released a Transmetal Waspinator.
That had a jet mode. But I mean, I'm talking about. Maybe a clear Starscream or something other, during a whole new mold could have been a deluxe, I think it would have been cool. And there was plenty of other characters that had one-off episodes, that they only appeared in one episode that got toys made of them. Beast Machines, the Beast Changer, Savage Noble.
He had
one episode.
He was in several.
Well, he was the first episode.
He was first few episodes of Battle for the Spark before it was discovered that he was, in fact, Megatron.
But, there was only one show that really, really focused on him, though, wasn't there?
There was a few. I mean, it wasn't like the primary focus, but...
Jim, you watched too much Beast Machines.
then they came and introduced Noble, and then they discovered that they were the same dude. But as far as Beast Wars proper, I would have liked to have seen it progress beyond, the Generation One stuff, and continue on more into its own thing. Which I guess in a way it did by going into Beast Machines, but that was. A little bit too much of a leap, too far outside the box, I think. I for one, I still enjoyed Beast Machines, for what it was, but I don't know. It took a lot of liberties.
Yeah.
Beast Wars is perfect. You can't say anything bad about it, other than
Rhinox farts.
But that was funny. I like that part.
A Transformer farted. Before Michael Bay. We cannot blame Michael Bay for that one.
Yeah, we can't.
We probably can.
He still gets the blame for Wrecking Balls.
What? Tobias is right. We blame Michael Bay for that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. What are your thoughts, Brimstone? I made out the cyber key. That's Brimstone's cyber key.
Yeah.
Oh.
Code in the back.
I'm like, what are you talking about, Jim?
Yeah.
You were so damn random.
I had to figure out what the letters were behind the symbol. It's Brimstone.
I remember talking to Chad, and you sent him messages every now and then while we were talking on the phone. And Chad's like, what is he? I'm like, what? And he goes, Jim. I'm like, oh. He goes, yeah, he's so damn random.
Yes.
Bless Chad. Tobias, what do you think Beast Wars did wrong?
I have the same problem, actually, because I'm such a fan of the show, so I can't really find anything. I think Jim made a good point out of the transition from the old G1 series to Beast Wars could have been a bit smoother, perhaps. But that's me reaching for things now. When it comes to the toys, of course, we can always blame them for being shell formers and things like that, but...
Lots of kibble.
Yeah, and we can also have...
It's part of another positive.
I don't want to blame... Weapons. Yeah, I don't want to blame them for shell formers, because that was a new thing back then, so... Well...
I'm sorry, it might be my speakers. Did you say shell formers or shelf warmers?
It's very confusing, but it's both shell formers.
Shell formers.
Okay, not shelf warmers.
No warmers.
Though okay. It had its fair share in Inferno and Scavenger. Because people hate ants.
All I gotta say is Transkito.
Yeah.
what was the one? I like that toy.
What was the one
that also had GPS?
It's like a bee does and it? A fish together. What was that one?
Luckily, it doesn't have all of its gold parts aren't in like critical like joints and stuff like that. So it's not one to just break outright. But there are a few pegs in the brown plastic that when you peg them together, the ports just shatter.
And what was that one that was like part bee and part fish? Was that like poison bite or something?
You're talking about Injector.
Yeah, Injector. That he was a shell ugliest. Former.
He is the ugliest deluxe ever, and I love him. And you leave him alone.
And then there was the obvious things as well. Like I used to love Inferno on show as well. And it looked so good, that toy, just looking at the pictures of it. But once you got it, it's a flimsy toy, and it's not pleasurable at all to transform. It's not like, I'm going to sit down and transform Inferno tonight. I'm talking about Mega Inferno, of course.
You were expecting to sit there and go, burn Maximus, burn in the fire.
Exactly.
But instead you were like, burn Inferno, I hate you toy.
Exactly. His legs are everywhere, and in his robot form he can't even stand up properly, so yeah.
That's what she said, his legs are everywhere.
Yeah. And just have a look at Deluxe Grimlock as well.
He's gold plastic as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
right?
We already covered that one. That gold
it's
plastic.
Like get out your razor blade and start chopping it up real fine, you know, forming it in lines.
You know, the funny thing is
how trans fans get
when Beast Wars 10th anniversary Dinobot came out, people were like, "Oh, you can replace all the gold parts on Grimlock with the Beast Wars 10th anniversary Dinobots parts."
No.
And it turns out, guess who else has GPS?
Yeah.
Wah, 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 wah.
On the bright side, you can form transmutate.
Yeah. So, as we all can see, we're really reaching here to find...
Well, for me, Michael's going to hate on me for this, but I can't really stand the mutants and the... And some of the fusers are kind of shit too, poison bite, injector, hideous toys, absolutely hideous, and I don't like them at all.
God, I forgot about the fusers. Yeah,
yeah. Let's please do now. Quick Strike was kind of cool. I did like Quick Strike, but then there's others,
Quick Strike, that was the Scorpion, right?
Yeah, Scorpion and...
he's the one that was on the show.
Snake, yeah.
Yeah, and in bright colors.
Yeah, I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, there is a reason why Quick Strike and Silver Bolts are the two on the show. It's because they're the best two. I'm not gonna. I mean, Fusors. Yeah, there's some. There are some that if I weren't 100% biased, they are duds. and that even includes like that. I'll go as far to say is that a lot of the Transmetal 2s aren't necessarily great. Yeah, the like Scourge. He's not, you know, he barely stands up. He looks cool, but as a toy, he's kind of crap.
Yeah, we got the
on
same.
Top of that, the chrome flakes off of him like crazy.
Okay.
So I mean, yeah, there was some design, some iffy design choices for some of the Fusors and some of the Transmetal 2s for sure. As for the mutants, they were supposed to be Animorph toys.
Right.
And Animorphs.
I'm going to hate on them too much. I still want them.
Why?
Because they were cool in the comic.
The only way I've ever enjoyed anything Animorphs is picking up one of the chapter books and flipping the pages just to see the little thing change in the corner of the page. That's it.
We read Animorphs a lot as kids. That was sort of the Animorphs and Goosebumps was like the 90s kids mainstays for books.
Yeah, Knight of Swords is correct. Transmetals did give us the first toy designed as an actual female character with Transmetal Air Razor. That first toy. Now, we did get Black Arachnia, that's correct, but Black Arachnia was a straight-up redeco of Tarantulas.
He might even have been, or she might even have been a he, according to the bio on the back of the card. I'm not entirely sure.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Air Razor was actually the first female toy, Transformer to get a toy that was actually designed as a female. But yeah,
there's no questioning it.
Yeah, the Fusers and the Mutants. I mean, Mutant Soundwave is like, oh god, that figure is awful. It's
but do you love Terrigator?
No, I don't even like that one either.
Is that the gator that has a turtle shell?
Yeah.
Terrigator's so cool, though.
Now, I have to say...
I mean, his robot mode's terrible. He basically transforms into a streaker. but...
He's like a
beast mode.
It's like a Koopa Troopa if he was a transformer.
Exactly. His beast mode's so cool that it makes up for his robot mode, in my opinion. Well, and the inverse... Bantor has a cool robot mode, but his beast mode is really dumb.
Now, I actually like Bantor. Bantor is one of the few that I actually like.
Not Bantor, Noctoro.
Oh, yeah.
I meant Noctoro.
He's bat and bull. Yeah. Bat and bull. What were they thinking when they made these things? It's like, what two animals can we mix together to make this weird looking creature?
Yeah, some of them are like genius, and some of them are like, what? That's nonsense.
I'm surprised if they didn't combine like a long rack and a fish,
That would have worked so much better than the wasp and a fish.
Yeah.
And then you have like Night Shadow. He's really cool. A lizard and a dragonfly.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there are some that pulled it off really well. Silverbolt, like you mentioned. Quick Strike. Tiger Hawk is okay. I think he suffered a lot from his gimmicks. He's a bit bulky in areas. His robot mode looked cool, but like you said, he didn't peg together all that well. Not as poseable, I guess, as you could as some of the other beast figures. Yeah, Black Arachnia beaten to overall Western release by Night Racer. BotCon 1995 exclusive, whose characterization was created by a fan organization. Yeah.
That was a pre-existing mold, though.
But that was a it was not designed as a female character originally. Right. It might have been, like, Black Arachnia was a female character and preceded the Air Razor, but it was not designed as a female character. It was a retool of a male character. Basically, it would have been like Headmaster RC, had we had gotten one back in G1, would have most likely been a redeco of Chrome Dome. So we've talked about the good points and the bad points of Beast Wars. Do we want to talk about Beast Machines?
I don't see why not.
I mean, it truly is the dark point of the Beast Wars legacy.
Except for Hammer Strike. Hammer Strike was freaking awesome.
Nah, that toy is terrible. I don't know. You're awesome.
I like that Hammer Strike.
Really cool looking figure.
Nah. Battle Unicorn.
I hate that figure.
Battle Unicorn. There was a Unicorn Transformer.
I still don't have that.
I had it for sale, like, not long ago.
I know. Every time I saw your sales list, I was like, I need to buy that from him. And then I finally was like, hey, do you still have that? Like, 4 months later, to be fair. And you're like, no, I sold that. I was like, crap.
Like, a long time ago.
Why did I keep putting it off?
And then there was Transformers the Chicken. Silverbolt.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
The con.
You cannot look at that and tell me that is not a chicken.
Possible.
Yeah, it could be.
I am broadcasting out a high definition signal, so it's very intensive on CPU and broadcast. We apologize to anybody who is trying to view the show and we're breaking up and everything. It's technical issues that we have no control over. You guys have any closing thoughts?
Yeah, Tank, Jonah, and Obsidian are awesome. Sorry, just summing up. Awesome toys.
Yes. What about you, Michael?
I mean, so like I said, super biased, but I mean, we are talking about a show that is still considered the savior of the Transformers franchise. So maybe it's a little hard to be too, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of, guys, the stream is really getting bad now, and I apologize for that. So we're going to wrap it up. Want to thank everybody who's joined us this evening. We've went about an hour and 15 minutes or so. Want to thank everybody who's joined us this evening for TFYLP. Tobias, good to have you back. Hope we can have you back more.
Yeah, really good to be back, and I'll certainly be back for more. And Beast Wars, what a great comeback for me as well. That Absolutely. Was a real... reboot of Transformers, and it will be a reboot for me as well. So,
we can see you soon.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I will try to get hold of a new webcam. Yep.
Let's see.
Really nice.
All right, guys. We will see you next time on TFYLP. I am Daron Land, aka Weird Wolf. Check us out on Patreon. Help us out there. Check out our sponsors. Also, thank you, Jim, Michael, and Tobias for being on tonight. We will see you next time on TFYLP.
Thank you. Bye.
Peter Spello says hi.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure. A presentation of tftalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting. And on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.